As a CEO or entrepreneurial leader, you want to focus on overall vision, alignment, and running a great business. You want your business to run efficiently with less effort and little pain. Welcome to Operationally Speaking with Sergio Samel. Sergio and his very special guests will give you the tools to run your business well and gain the momentum to break through to the next level. Now, here is your host, Sergio Samel.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to episode number 40 of Operationally Speaking, where we exclusively focus on the art and science of operating entrepreneurial businesses. I am Sergio Samel, your host, and I'm the principal EOS implementer as well as Colby and predictive industry specialist at Get Business Momentum, where we help owners and CEOs of small to mid-sized entrepreneurial companies like yours get what you want out of your business by implementing a simple, well-proven and complete system for operating your company. This episode opens up our fourth season. If you missed any of the previous episodes, you can listen to them all on demand here on the Voice America Business Channel, as well as wherever you listen to podcasts, such as on iTunes or Stitcher. And now, let me introduce my great guest today, Megan Driscoll. Megan, you are the founder and CEO of Pharmalogix Recruiting, a global human capital organization established in 2003. Currently, the firm has a staff of over 80 employees and an international headquarters in both Boston, Massachusetts and Basel, Switzerland. Pharmalogix was recognized as a Boston Business Journal Best Place to Work, a Boston Globe Top Workplace, an Inc. Magazine Best Workplace, a Staffing Industry Analyst Fastest Growing Staffing Firm, and a four-time Inc. 5000 Fastest Growing Private Company in America. You are a staunch advocate for gender equality. Motivated by the utter lack of females in leadership roles, you launched the social media campaign doitforyourdaughters.org. And personally, as just a side note, as a father of two grown daughters myself, I must say that moves me deeply. Your career has been a journey of both ups and downs, yet each step was designed and guided by purpose. You are passionate about sharing these tools with other leaders. So welcome to Operationally Speaking, Megan.
Thanks for having me. Looking
forward to I'm so honored. All right. So first of all, just to set up a little bit of a context here, how did we, you and I, first connected?
I think we met, was it at the Brava Awards?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yes, it was a Smart CEO Brava
Smart
Awards.
CEO, correct. Actually, it was the Smart CEO. It wasn't Brava. It was Smart CEO, the first, when I came to Boston for the first time. I was a Smart CEO recipient.
Exactly, exactly. So, you know, business is always very serious and so forth. At least people think it is very serious. But I like to introduce a little bit of levity. So do you have like a, just to get us started and kind of jazzed up a little bit, do you have like a business anecdote you'd like to share?
One of my most favorite sort of mottos, I guess, is it's become a meme that we often fly around this often around this office is Bill Belichick's "Do your job." It's you know, he's so simple and he's a man of very few words, and the ones that he uses definitely count. But I think "Do your job" is just like it can't be overstated. Mm-hmm. There are so many people in it that I think work and are always looking to the next thing, which I don't think is a bad thing. I think it's a great thing to be forward thinking. But you can't get the job that you want next if you don't do the one you have great. And so doing your job is just about put your head down, do a really, really great job with the job that you're in right now, and great things will come because of it, basically. So that's one of my most favorite things. And we kind of use it in the office intermittently. And when someone's off the rails, we send them the meme, "Do your job," from Bill Belichick. And it's kind of a laugh.
Makes perfect sense. And also, one thing that I always I'm always interested in when I meet somebody new in any context, and I always ask my guests this question to start with, is, you know, we have various, you know, forces or people in the early stages of our lives that really influence us and make us to be who we are today. So how about your life? Is there any force or event maybe or a person that has had the strongest influence on you becoming who you are today, Megan?
Yeah, I think, and I'm sure we'll get to this later with regard to the sort of topic about igniting your passion, but I learned a lot about sort of business ethics or sort of like the sort of work ethic from my dad, particularly. Mm-hmm. He was an important person in my life always, but he was an engineer and very, you know, measure twice, cut once is something that just really resounds with me. And he was always saying, and he loved this term, just like, don't do things half-assed, you know, is how he mm-hmm. used to put it. And, you know, if you're going to do something, do it with excellence or just don't do it at all. And that applies to every part of your life, whether that's a professional pursuit or a personal pursuit, whether it's a relationship. And that has always stuck with me. I think he probably had to say it to me 1,000 times before it made any sense to me or that I felt like I should live by it. I certainly half-assed a lot of stuff in high school, mm-hmm. sure.
Yeah.
But that was definitely something that I think was very shaping of my overall just sort of approach to business and work and life in general, I would say.
Very, and actually, I actually personally share that principle as one of my kind of core values as well. So I totally relate to what you just said. So tell us a little bit, just in a minute or so, about Pharmalogix Recruiting. What's its purpose? Maybe what's it best at?
Sure. So the mission is has been the same since I opened the doors in 2004. Our goal has always been to be the number one biopharmaceutical recruiting firm in the country by placing top talent at companies that improve and save lives. We're not just recruiting to recruit any old person in any old job. We are focused in life sciences. We believe that the people that we put in positions will change the world for the better. They'll come up with the next cure for cancer or Alzheimer's. We work with some of the, I was a cutting edge leading firms. We have programs. I think what's really unique about Pharmalogix and what I love most about it is that we don't exclude companies due to size or ability to pay, if you will. So we have very large clients like Novartis and Shire and Biogen. And we have equally as many, if not more, clients that have less than 12 employees that are VC-backed, that have this fantastic idea. They have a fantastic cure. And we give them a lower cost option so that they have a level playing field. So it's not, we essentially are leveling the playing field for top talent. You don't have to be Novartis to get the best candidates. You can be a company of 12 people with a great idea and have equal access to top talent. So that's really important to us and something that I think makes us a little bit unique.
And I assume that, of course, your being located at least partially in the Boston area makes a whole lot of difference, given the very strong representation of this industry in Eastern Massachusetts, the Boston metro area, right?
Yeah, I would say so. But interestingly enough, about I would say only maybe 25% of our business comes from Boston-based companies. Mm-hmm. We do a good deal, between 25 and 30% of our business overseas, and then I would say the remainder 50% is, you know, equally dispersed amongst the other hubs in the U.S. So right. Biopharma is big in San Francisco, San Diego, the Research Triangle Park area, Maryland, the Tri-State, and Boston. I mean, there's stuff in the Midwest, there's stuff in the Southeast, but for the most part, that's where the work is centralized. So the remainder 50% of our business is spread within those other hubs.
Right. So, you know, the firm has been around for like, what, 15 years or so now. Mm-hmm. And under any reasonable definition of success, one could call it a success, right?
Yeah. I mean, I find the statistics interesting. What I love about going to the Inc. 5000 conference is that mm-hmm. we've been on the list every year since we've applied for it. So it's been the last 4 years. Right. I love going because you are amongst people whom are ahead of you and behind you. So, you know, you're experiencing issues that they've already been through, and you can help others, sort of avoid issues that you've just experienced. But one of the things that they talk a lot about is just how many companies fail. So the statistics are, and this is across all businesses, not just like restaurants or whatever, but all businesses, 60% have a failure rate within 12 months, and 96% are gone within 10 years.
Exactly. So,
you know, it's pretty daunting for an entrepreneur who's looking to start a business that the chances that they'll be able to be around in 10 years is slim, very slim. Obviously, only 4% are doing it.
Right.
So from that perspective, I feel like Pharmalogic's been a huge success. But Pharmalogic's is still an infant in terms of where it can go and the kind of impact it can make and the future that it has.
Of course. So given this, the fact that you are in the top, 3%, 2% or so, what do you think have been, let's say, the top three most important ingredients to your success in bringing a company from inception to the 80-plus person international firm that it is today?
I think number one would be resiliency. And I'm sure that most entrepreneurs will share the same sentiment. But there's, you know, a multitude of times, probably some smaller than others, but you will experience financial downturns in the marketplace that will be inevitable. You'll have specific hardships related to your business. You'll have specific employees that become a problem for you. You know, there will be moments in your business that couldn't absolutely take your business down. And so being resilient through and to weather those storms, I think, is kind of like one of the most important things. And then, you know, I think for entrepreneurs who are looking to, get where they need to go, it's having that vision and being able to execute. So kind of knowing where you're going and then execute a plan to get there.
Exactly. So, you know, of course, people, and of course you are in the people business, but now I'm looking at your company kind of in the inside of it, not what you do for others. People make a great, you know, the greatest component of a business, both on the side of the greatest assets, if you wish, of a business are people, but also the greatest source of issues and so forth. So let's talk a little bit about the people as the drivers of your business success, and in particular about its leaders, starting with you. So you are a woman leader. Now, reality is that women-led entrepreneurial companies are still in minority. Kind of smallish minority. Yet a lot of research shows that women made at least as good leaders, if not better leaders, than men do. Why do you think that's the case?
I don't want to say that we're more compassionate, right, than the male group of the other half of the world. But I do think that women have a better ability to sort of read the room, if you will. I think we have a natural tendency to want to make things kind of nice. And sometimes things need to be made nice, right? Sometimes you need to be able to see the innuendo that's occurring and be able to influence the outcome in a positive way. So, you know, I don't know that that's true. I've known that it's been very helpful to me as a female to be able to pull on that sort of empathy and compassion and be able to sort of bring two heads together that might be hot and get them to a cooler place because I'm able to kind of see that that's the direction it's going in. I've felt that that's kind of one of the reasons that's made me successful, and it's certainly something that if I compare my personality to like my husband's, we're different in that way. I'm not nearly as hot-headed about things sometimes, and I can take it down multiple notches to a place where I can see common ground, and I feel as though in business that's a really important skill for anyone to have, male or female.
So are you also in part saying that when it comes to communication, which of course as a leader, that's one of the key ingredients, we don't have to say that, that comes without saying, that when it comes to communication, the fact that women, the fact that you in particular are a good listener more than just a good speaker, is that also part of this, what makes you and makes perhaps women great leaders?
Yeah, I think there's a level of just sort of being humble, not being so aggressive and needing to always win. I, you know, women in general, I think, you know, I am fairly aggressive and assertive in general. I wouldn't have gotten where I am without that. But I would say in general that women by nature are not necessarily as aggressive and assertive as men. And I don't know that being aggressive and assertive is always a winning combination, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes what you don't say is more important than what you do say. And oftentimes I don't need to, I know that if I win the current fight, I'm losing the battle. And right. I feel as though sometimes that is lost upon men, that they have to win every single fight and they lose sight of the fact that there's a much larger, broader vision. And that means that we have to kind of check our ego at the door from time to time.
So we're going to take a short break right now, and when we come back, we'll actually speak a little bit more about women as leaders, about you as a woman leader of your entrepreneurial business. So don't go away. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
Would you like to turn your entrepreneurial organization into a well-oiled machine that runs efficiently with less effort and little pain so your good business becomes great and you can stop putting out today's fires and focus on its future instead? Serge Samel, our host, helps business owners and CEOs get what they want out of their business by working with their leadership team to implement a complete, highly proven suite of tools and processes. This system for operating your business gets everybody 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and how it will get there. Gets everybody more disciplined and more accountable so that everybody becomes a master of execution, gaining momentum towards your vision, and gets everybody to function as part of cohesive, healthy teams. To find out whether this is for you, contact Sergio at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that's os@getbusinessmomentum.com or directly at 1-617-731-3132.
Tune in to The Soul of Enterprise, Business in the Knowledge Economy, with co-hosts Ron Baker and Ed Kless. Ron and Ed will show you how to recognize that wealth is created by intellectual capital. It's all in the possibilities that we can create and that are created for us. These possibilities are destined to be discovered by human imagination and through the service of others, creating a brighter future for all of us. The Soul of Enterprise is heard live every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Business Channel, and simulcast at the same time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now. Toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Operationally Speaking. To reach Sergio Samel, if you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to os@getbusinessmomentum.com. That's os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Now, back to this week's program.
This is Sergio Samel, your host, and I'm sitting here with Megan Driscoll, founder and CEO of Pharmalogics Recruiting. So, Megan, before we get back into our conversation about women leaders, I want to ask you a kind of a different question about Pharmalogics. Is there one thing about your business that actually nobody other than your clients or your customers knows about?
I think that when oftentimes people are surprised to figure out or find out how inexpensive we are, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, we beat the market by about 50%. So, you know, for example, to hire a senior level scientist, a company might pay $40,000 for that person in a fee, believe it or not. Right. And we charge less than half of that. So I think that's kind of something that, you know, we don't advertise that we're cheap, because the connotation is that the service is you get what you pay for. But in fact, actually, you know, we sort of, people find out about that by working with us, because really what we push is the quality of our service and the fact that we're putting top talent at companies and making actual hires. And what they come to find out is that they're going to pay less than they would if they went anywhere else. So it's kind of a little known secret.
Right. So actually, I have a follow-on question on that. So what is it, since we are talking about operating businesses, right? So what is it in the operations of the business that enable you to actually be so competitive in a price, from a price perspective, and yet deliver an extremely high quality service?
It's the way we deliver the model. So we've kind of, what I would say is pulled the sheet back on recruitment. So it's a completely transparent process. Mm-hmm. And the client is actually, we view ourselves as an extension of the client's human resources department. And they wouldn't pay that much money for a consultant to do the work. So why are they paying it in a contingency fee is kind of the model, is based on that idea. And so we strip everything down at its core. So we have a different set of people that are identifying the talent. We have a different set of people that are calling and recruiting the talent. There's a different set of people that gets the work. So by diversifying, and in most cases, recruiting companies have recruiters that do it all. They go out, find the work, they go find the candidates, they make the match, and they make big fees. Right. The way that we strip it down and sort of silo out allows us to hire different kinds of people to do different jobs here for less money. And we are based on volume. So what we know is that if we work with someone, doing one job with a client is not at all what we're interested in doing. We know that if we do one job with that client, they're going to give us all their work, because they're going to be so impressed with the quality of the candidates and the price that they won't go anywhere else. So really for us, it's about volume-based work. Most of our clients give us 20 to 30 openings every single year, and our larger partners give us 200 to 300 openings every single year. So when you're working with a large volume, you're able to still hit the margins. I mean, they're nowhere near as good as a successful contingency recruitment firm. The margins are much higher, but because we do so much more volume, we're that much bigger, that much higher revenue.
All right. So let's swing back to our conversation about women leaders. I have one more question about that. And I happen to know that you have two kids, right?
Yep. Maddie, who is 13, and Bailey, who is 9.
All right.
Boy and a girl.
Yes, exactly. And well, if one does the math, they were both born while you were actually growing your company, right?
Yes, Pharmalogix is my first baby.
There we go. So what role has motherhood played in the context of your role, the sometimes very, very intense role as a CEO and founder of your own business?
Yeah, I think one of the nice things about being a mom and a leader, I find, is that it does give me like a certain level of dose in reality. So, you know, I often say, and I just attribute this to motherhood, in that it's not cancer, right? Like, no problem. if money can solve the problem, it's not really a problem. And, you know, when I think about the problems that I face in my 9-to-5 job, right, none of them are going to hurt my children. You know, like being a mom has just made me so aware of how precious life is and how little time we have on this planet, and how we need to be mindful of the way we're spending our hours and our days and our weeks and our months and our years. And so when I'm faced with a problem at Pharmalogix, you know, I always think about that, like, this isn't going to hurt my children. This is not going to impact my family. This decision that I make, although it seems really big and really important in the grand scheme of things, you know, this is a job, this is a business. And there are really, really, really other important things in my life that are going well. So even when things are going poorly, or I have to make a tough decision, or I'm sure about what we're going to do next or how we're going to handle it, I can pull off of this feeling that I have this, these two beautiful children at home who love me endlessly and whom I love. And so I find that to be comforting, and it helps me keep my, my head straight when I'm making decisions. Because I think that just the motto of like, it's not cancer kind of, you know, it helps you go, get through those times when you feel like this is a really big deal. In reality, it's not.
This is really beautiful, and I can hear behind your words your real passion, both for, I mean, first of all, for your children, for your two daughters, as well as for the businesses as well. So that actually brings us to the kind of core topic of today, which is passion. So let's talk about passion, Megan, and this is about passion for what we do, whether that's at the helm of an entrepreneurial company, like in your case, or whether that's in a job that fulfills one of the many functions of the of your organization that needs to need to be fulfilled, that you know the organization is set up to create. So let's get to the basics here. So what is, in your view of this topic, what is passion, as we use the term here?
Yeah, I mean, I often think, I don't know if anybody, I'm sure people do follow sort of Warren Buffett and his life and work and whatnot.
Yes.
And I love listening to him speak. And one of the things that, you know, he talks a lot about is how he skips his way to work, to a job that many people would find utterly boring and horrible. You know, and but yet to him, it's not a job. It's not work. It's his life, what he loves to do. And I think that's sort of the pinnacle for all of us, right? Is are we able to put ourselves in a position to do something that doesn't feel like work? And most importantly, I believe personally that in order to figure that out, right, you have to know what you're here on the planet to do, ultimately. You know, this is driven by your own sort of spiritual guidance, if you will, right? Like, we're all here for something. And oftentimes we're here to fulfill a purpose, and that purpose should ignite your passion if you can identify what it is.
So, that brings up a very interesting topic, and that is discovering actually that that purpose, right? So, in order to have passion, you just said that you need to be aware of that purpose. And of course, we are not born with that explicit knowledge. We don't come along with a user manual that says, okay, Megan's purpose is blah, blah, blah when she was born, right? Or Serge's purpose is blah, blah, blah. So how do you discover, or how does one go about discovering that purpose? And let's start with you. How did you discover what your purpose was, and when did that happen, and what was the context?
Yeah, and one of the things I would say, Serge, actually, is I would disagree with that. I think we are born with our purpose sort of embrandished on our soul and on our person. And what happens over time is we lose our way. Oftentimes people, you know, when you go back and you say, what did you love to do as a kid? You know, and you'll hear people say, God, I really love to paint. You know, when I'm painting, I could sit for hours and I would just paint and be creative. And, you know, now this person's like an accountant somewhere in a cube and hates their job, and you wonder why. So I think it's the exact opposite. What happens in our development through our very formal school process and schooling process and our parenting process and the pressures that we put on our children with regard to sports and their success, and they have to get into this specific college, and so just that pressure cooker that we put our children in, I think it's just a stripping away of their ability to connect to what their purpose is and what they're really here for. So as adults, I think we have an opportunity to tap back into that, and being able to identify what it is that gets us excited and motivated and happy. And so how I've done it, you know, I don't know that there's another way. I only know the way that I've been able to do it.
Sure.
I think that I'm not alone in this. I think there are leaders, a variety of very pertinent people, Oprah and Tony Robbins, and who ascribe to these same values. I don't think I'm saying anything crazy, but you know, I've found that the power comes from within, and the only way to access within is through meditation. I don't believe there's another way to do it, quite frankly.
Okay, and when did that start for you? So, what forms of meditation did you embrace, and you know, how has your practice been, especially given this in a sense, a fundamental purpose to discover or rediscover your own purpose?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think for most people, I've always been a seeker, I would say. When in my 20s, I always felt like, God, there's got to be a reason I'm here. And I know I want to be a mom, and I think that's really important. And I want to work, and I like what I'm doing. But I don't really know that that's like what I'm here on the planet to do. So although I didn't have the answer to that question, I definitely lived a life of seeking. And I would read a lot of books on connectedness. I'd read a lot of business books. I've always been a very avid reader of a variety of different genres of work. But I would say that, in that process of seeking is, seek and ye shall find. Right. For me, it was really sort of more of a personal tragedy. My father was diagnosed with glioblastoma, which is the kind of cancer that kills you in like 9 months. It's the kind of cancer that John McCain currently has. And in doing so, I had this extraordinary experience to, believe it or not, it's kind of crazy, but I did go to John of God and I did ask for a miracle in Brazil. And it was funny. I went into that experience as the kind of person that would do yoga. And at the end of yoga during Shavasana, I would literally do sit-ups because I thought that time was a waste of time to be sitting there quiet. And I came out of my trip to Brazil not only with the love of meditation, but the guidance that I was seeking. So for me, it was a little bit like turbo spirit, come in 1 week and go out back to the next. But I think for people, it's more of a journey over time where they finally realize if you give it a try, you can't stop doing it. Once you connect, you can't stop doing it.
Well, we'll take a short break right now. When we come back, I'd like to continue our conversation about how meditation can be used to discover or reignite that passion. So don't go away. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
Would you like to turn your entrepreneurial organization into a well-oiled machine that runs efficiently with less effort and little pain so your good business becomes great and you can stop putting out today's fires and focus on its future instead? Serge Samel, our host, helps business owners and CEOs get what they want out of their business by working with their leadership team to implement a complete, highly proven suite of tools and processes. This system for operating your business gets everybody 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and how it will get there. Gets everybody more disciplined and more accountable so that everybody becomes a master of execution, gaining momentum towards your vision, and gets everybody to function as part of cohesive, healthy teams. To find out whether this is for you, contact Sergio at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that's os@getbusinessmomentum.com or directly at 1-617-731-3132.
How is your work-life balance? In most businesses, no matter where you are positioned, there is always room for improvement. If you're an executive, learn insight about your business. Are you an employee? Learn how to better work with your team. Even if you're not in business, you can learn where your strengths and weaknesses can be played to their best potential. The Work-Life Balance with host Rick Morris can be heard live every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Operationally Speaking. To reach Serge Samel, if you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to os@getbusinessmomentum.com. That's os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Now, back to this week's program.
This is Sergio Simel, your host, and I'm sitting here with Megan Driscoll, founder and CEO of Pharmalogix Recruiting. So, Megan, before we took the quick break here, commercial break, we were talking about meditation and its role in igniting one's passion. So, as a CEO, I'm sure that you are actually taking in part to some people in your organization the position or the role of a kind of a mentor, right? So what is it that you mentor or you tell your mentees or your people within your organization that you may feel may need to somehow tap in into themselves and discover really what their passion is?
Yeah. Well, we do a comedy. I mean, you know, here's the thing. And I work with a lot of the majority of my staff is actually under the age of 30. 99% are millennials. So these are very young people. And not to say that igniting your passions shouldn't happen as soon as it possibly can. But the interesting thing about, I think, finding passion in your work and more importantly, just connecting to what your purpose on this planet is that it doesn't need to be an overnight thing, right? You're going to make decisions at certain stages in your life that are maybe off purpose, but they are choices that will get you closer to where you might need to go. So I'm just going to give you an example.
Sure.
And this relates back to do your job, right? Mm-hmm. In order, in my opinion, and again, this is just my opinion, and others might disagree with me on this, but in order to be somebody who can give, you must have first. And if giving, for example, which is really important to me, my husband and I have sort of already decided that our children get nothing when we pass away, that everything will be, in a charitable, trust for others and, you know, we'll cover college and things like that. But beyond that, they're kind of on their own and need to stand on their own 2 feet. But in order to do that, right, in order to be able to give in a significant way, set up a family foundation, make real meaningful change, you must have in order to do that. In order to have, you must do things that make money. And so you must work hard. And oftentimes you must do things that seem like they're off purpose, that seem like they're not part of your passion. And we're always faced with these choices of what we're doing and why we're doing it. So that I find that the most important thing, at least for me, in my opening to meditation, was to be able to see, and I really was in meditation, able to see where I was going. So I knew where I was headed to, and I knew that I would not be able to get to that point for some time. One of the tenets that I speak about, and I'm writing a book about this, is the power of patience. You know, people are not overnight successes, right? It just doesn't, everything good. I mean, there's a reason why everything worth having is worth waiting for, basically. And that it's all about the journey to get there. And so I do think that through meditation, what I think is beautiful about it is that it's not just drop everything today, quit that job and go be a piano player, right? Like, let's say that's your passion. You may have to keep the lights on and pay your bills and create enough of a nest egg to go out and then move to LA for 6 months and try to become a piano player or work in a band, right? Like, so it's about understanding where you currently are as it relates to what your ultimate goal is. And that's what's so beautiful about meditation and really tapping in and connecting to one's own spirit, really, guide. Understanding yourself is it allows you to see the context of your life in a broader way. So I'm no advocate for drop everything right now, quit your job, and go live your passion by painting, because that could result in you becoming homeless. That doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help you, and it certainly doesn't help humanity. And so I think that it can be complicated, but I think what happens for me, and I know what's happened for others, is that by tapping in, you get to see the broader context, and you get the direction of where you're going. Like, for example, when someone says to me, I'm really struggling with this job, I just don't feel like it's the right thing for me. I don't get excited to come into work every day, and I'm not like looking forward to it. My first advice to someone is, okay, do your job for the next 6 months like you're leaving it. Mm-hmm. You are going to be gone from this job in 6 months. And the old tenet of like, look at things differently and the things you look at change. All of a sudden you may or may not get a new appreciation for the job that you're currently doing, right? Because when you know that it no longer exists, then it becomes real, right? And you get to really consider what you'd be giving up by leaving it. And if the pros outweigh the cons after doing that for several months, then you know that it's the right time to leave that job. But sometimes simply looking at it differently and being able to see what it is giving you, such as an income or relationships or a good networking opportunity. There's a lot of reasons why people stay in jobs. As long as they're purposeful and they're helping you get where you ultimately need to go, it doesn't mean they're always going to be comfortable.
So why do you think meditation, which you embraced, it sounds like, from early on and on an ongoing basis and quite fundamental in your life, in your work and so forth, why do you think meditation is such a powerful tool? What is about meditation that makes it that powerful tool that is able to help us ignite or actually make us ignite our passion or reignite our passion?
I think I touched on this earlier, but I think we've lived a life of being told what to do, right? So from the moment we come out of the womb in our families, in our American families, at least, that's all I can speak of, is, there have been the rules and what you do and what you don't do, and you can do this and you can't do that, and you should be doing this or you shouldn't be doing that, and there's guilt and all this other stuff. And we grow up living the life that other people have created for us. And in meditation, and why I don't agree with guided meditation. I mean, if you're using it for health benefits because you have high blood pressure, well, then guided meditation is great. It's great for relaxation. But if you're talking about trying to tap in to hear your inner voice, and you'll always know what it is because it will tell you the most beautiful things. But in order to get to that place of listening to your inner voice, you need absolute and total quiet. And when in our lives do we ever have that? You're in the car, you have the radio on, your kids are talking to you, you have an email, you're constantly on your phone. We are being bombarded at all times with data, information. And even when we begin to close our eyes and start to meditate, it's the running list of things that we should have done earlier today or that we meant to do last week, and you got to make sure you could do this tomorrow. It's the to-do list. Never.
Yes, the inner voice speaks all the time, right?
And that's really not your inner voice. That's your brain. That's your brain not shutting
down. Yes, that's what I meant.
And really what meditation is and where it needs to go and what you need to wait for really and push for and practice is to quiet that brain down so that you can hear your inner voice. And it's your heart speaking, really. And like I said, you will know it when you hear it because it will only tell you the most truthful, beautiful things. And then once you get a little bit of a taste of that, you'll keep coming back because it'll be so unusual, so unique, so amazing that you can't imagine living your life without it.
So how would you advise someone who's new at this, or at least new at this type of meditation that's not the guided meditation type, to get started?
Yeah, so I think it's, what I would say is if anybody's interested in this, reach out to me because I have probably the best meditation playlist on the planet. I have a series of increasingly longer songs that will kind of get you to where you need to go, mentally to shut that off. It's about practice. It's about doing it in a quiet space. So it's finding a sacred space where your dog's not going to run in and scratch the door. Your husband's not going to yell down to your wife or whatever. You're not going to receive a phone call that's going to go bang, right? That alone can be difficult for people. So finding that space and that time. And it's not, you don't need a lot of time. To get started, it's 10 minutes a day, maybe. I spend between 10 and 20 minutes a day every day. And then I also listen to meditation music in my commute. I spend about 2 hours in the car every day. So I also do that, which is not as easy to connect because obviously I'm paying attention to the road. But the best time is when I have my quiet space. I do it in a closet, believe it or not, because double door close. And if this first door is closed, they usually know not to come in. And then I've got a second door in the closet, so they're not coming in. Dog can't get there if I do that. So I think it's about finding the space and it's about practice. It's not going to happen overnight to you. First several times, the first year doing it, you may never be able to shut your brain off. But the more you try and believe that it's going to happen for you, it will happen for you. Seek and you shall find it. It is there. It is not unique to me. This is an available, never-ending resource that we all have. to tap into. It's available to every single one of us.
Mm. So tell us a little bit more about your practice. So is this a morning ritual? Is there a specific time of day? How many days a week? You know, that kind of stuff to just give people an idea of how an experienced business leader uses this tool to really ignite or reignite one's passion.
So number one, I exclusively listen to what I would call sedating meditative music in the car. Mm. I find that I start my day very differently between doing that or morning Joe, right? Morning Joe gets me riled up. Meditation music gets me calm. Starting your day calm and ending your day calm, I think is really important to segue between going from work to home and going from home to work. So that's a really important thing that I implemented maybe 5 or 6 years ago that I found to be amazingly successful. When I look back at just my business success, if I go back 5 years to when I really started meditating, Pharmalogix had hockey stick growth. We're talking 30-40% growth year after year. Right. I 100% attribute that to my practice of meditation and the message and the guidance that I've received in doing so. Right. So I'm a believer, obviously. I'm connected. I know what my heart is telling me. I listen very carefully. So I spend between 10 and 20 minutes every day. Whether it's Saturday or Sunday, it doesn't really matter. I often try to, like maybe once a month or once a quarter, go to a meditative practice somewhere where I can sit in silence for an hour and a half. And yearly, I'll attend a meditative weekend where the majority of the weekend is in silence and in meditation. And again, I'm speaking from a place of, this sounded like hell on earth to me 6 years ago. You know, this is not something I would ever, ever, ever have done. I often say that my dad's cancer was his greatest gift to me. And because I would never have found meditation without him being so sick.
So we'll take another short break. And when we come back, we'll continue talking about meditation and passion and what happens when the passion is just not there yet. So don't go away. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Would you like to turn your entrepreneurial organization into a well-oiled machine that runs efficiently with less effort and little pain so your good business becomes great and you can stop putting out today's fires and focus on its future instead? Serju Samel, our host, helps business owners and CEOs get what they want out of their business by working with their leadership team to implement a complete, highly proven suite of tools and processes. This system for operating your business gets everybody 100% on the same page as to where the business is going and how it will get there. Gets everybody more disciplined and more accountable so that everybody becomes a master of execution, gaining momentum towards your vision, and gets everybody to function as part of cohesive, healthy teams. To find out whether this is for you, contact Sergio at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that's os@getbusinessmomentum.com or directly at 1-617-731-3132.
Higher education faces lots of changes. If you are a student, educator, or in the workforce, you'll want to tune into Big Beacon Radio, Transforming Higher Education. Your host, Dave Goldberg, and his guests will explore the innovations that higher education adopts as it reinvents itself. The world of higher education is constantly changing. Stay on top and stay ahead of the rest. Big Beacon Radio, Transforming Higher Education. Listen Mondays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel.
Have you had a chance to check out Voice America's online magazine and blog, Press Pass? If you love our hosts and shows, check out articles that give an even deeper perspective. Plus topics about health and fitness, movie reviews, philosophy, business tips and tactics, spirituality, positive thought, current events, and even more about your favorite host. It's just a click away at vapresspass.com. That's vapresspass.com. VA Press Pass by Voice America. All access, all the time.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
This is Operationally Speaking. To reach Sergio Semel, if you have a question or comment about the program, please send an email to os@getbusinessmomentum.com. That's os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Now, back to this week's program.
This is Sergio Semel, your host, and I'm sitting here with Megan Driscoll, founder and CEO of Pharmalogix Recruiting. So we were talking about your meditative practice, Megan, right before the break, and you were telling us that you have this daily practice, and you know, once a year you actually go and spend some time in a kind of a broader meditative space. Now, what about the rest of your, say, leadership team in your business? Do they embrace those kinds of practices, or do you, are you the only kind of, you know, a loner there that does that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, we actually have a certified wellness program at Pharmalogix, which includes a combination of workout classes that we offer. We offer yoga, and we do run meditation in our office. I don't force this on anyone, right? I mean, ultimately, what I think, what I do is I open the door to the possibility, right? You've got to be willing to walk through that door. You've got to want to. And so if you're not a believer and you don't think it's possible, then it isn't going to be possible, right? So when people hear my message and see that I attribute the success of the last 5 years, which has been extreme profitability and growth and revenue and profit, and you know, when I can ascribe that to this one thing, it gets people curious. But ultimately, it's up to the individual to want to make this connection. For many, it can seem very scary. You know, like I said, 6 years ago, it seemed to me like a big waste of time. So I understand that. I get that mentality because that was absolutely the person that I was. So people are brought to it, I think, from a variety of different places. Mine came from a place of being very fearful of the death of my father and wanting to do something, and was introduced to it in that setting. So I think people come to meditation or come to this place of wanting to identify their purpose from different places and at different times in their life.
So have you ever tried to get your entire leadership team in a meditative retreat?
So we do meditation in our office. So they have attended a meditation. Yeah. But no, I'm not taking them to Kapalu with me for the weekend. Although I think they would all really benefit from that. Again, you know, in a work setting, I'm not forcing this on people, right?
Oh, of course.
Yeah. But to be fair, it can seem that way, right? So you have to be really careful with, with that. I think as a leader, I want people to follow themselves and find themselves when they need to find themselves. And if this is a conduit by which that they can do that, fantastic. If they would like any advice on that, fantastic. I have given advice. I have given my meditation lists. There are people who meditate here who would never have thought of doing so before. And I love that. I think that's great. But it's at their own pace and of their own volition.
Right. So before I ask you another question about circling back to passion and igniting it, a quick question that just popped in my mind. So if anyone made a movie about your life, Megan, what would it be called?
I mean, I think I would really call it, which is probably going to ultimately be the title of my book, Turbo Spirit, because I do think that you know, the transformation that I was able to make in such a very short period of time and had such incredibly fantastic outcome, I think is a story worth telling. In that, what I really truly believe is it's possible for everyone. There's nothing special about me. There's no uniqueness to my experience. What I was able to do in tapping in and the ability of doing it and what it's done for me in the future is absolutely possible for everyone. So I think that would be the title, because I think it'll also be the title of my book.
Yes, that sounds actually a very enticing title. So, you know, life brings us sort of in this kind of spectrum between total passion, total flaw on one end of the spectrum, and kind of a trite resign mode in the other end of the spectrum, kind of back and forth. You know, life is obviously not linear. So what if for somebody pursuing one's passion at this particular time is not possible? You kind of alluded to this early on about, you know, just do your job, but what else would you advise somebody who's maybe in this place and is listening to us and says, yeah, but I can't quite find it yet. Maybe I need 6 years of meditation to get there. Mm-hmm. What should I do in the interim?
Yeah, I mean, I think while you're trying to figure it out, operate with excellence, right? Do whatever you're doing right now fantastically. Do it the best you could. I would always tell someone to do that, whether they hate their job or love their job, right? Mm. Whatever you've decided to do and you're putting your name on every single day, make it excellent. But don't do that alone, right? Don't do that in a vacuum or silo. Make sure that you're also at the same time. And it's not going to, if someone needs an answer sooner, an answer will arrive sooner. I believe that the universe gives us back what we ask for. And so if you're asking for guidance, if you're connecting and wanting, seeking a greater understanding of what it is that you're supposed to be doing on this planet and how and when, those answers will come to you through that connection. And as long as what you're doing, and again, once you kind of identify where you're headed, then you can evaluate the role against where you're supposed to go. Does it fit into your master plan? Every job, every person in our life, every relationship, every obstacle has been given to us for a reason. And we are to learn and grow from whatever that is, both the good and the bad. And so looking at things from that perspective, I think can help you understand that some of the most difficult times in my life, like I said, losing my father was the most painful experience of my life. Going and seeing him every day in hospice pass away, every day I would say, I can't believe people do this. I can't believe people sit around and wait for someone that they love so dearly to just pass. I can't believe this happens. And yet I wouldn't change it for the world, because in his passing, I received what is the greatest gift. Now, that's really, you know, it's an incredible feeling, right, to be able to look back on all of these difficult things that I've had to go through in my success and see that there was such a silver lining to all of them. And I wouldn't trade any one of them because I wouldn't be where I am today. But all of that understanding comes from a greater understanding of where I'm going, why I'm here, what's my end goal. So what I would say to someone who's struggling right now, who's saying, like, God, I know this isn't what my passion is. I know this isn't what I'm supposed to be. Keep doing what you're doing with excellence and really tap in to understand where are you headed and how can you place the job that you have now in that greater context. And if it doesn't fit, operate like it's over in 6 months. And if it still doesn't fit, find something that does.
So, Megan, I'd like to offer you the opportunity to give our listeners a gift via two very quick recommendations, a book and an app. What are your recommendations?
I would say the most impactful book that I have ever read is The Power of Intention, written by Wayne Dyer. I love him and love his work. And that opened quite a few of the doors for me early on when I was seeking, I would say, and provided me with some guidance as to how to get where I needed to go, even when I didn't subscribe to meditation or thought that it was a stupid waste of time. And from a perspective of an app, I don't know that I can give one. The apps that I use are, I wouldn't say I have one that I think is super impactful, unfortunately.
Not a problem. So, well, I want to thank you so much for being my guest here. And thank you, all of you, our listeners, for spending this precious hour with us. If you found what you heard on the show helpful, point your business friends and colleagues to Operationally Speaking. And if you listen to us on our webpage at voiceamerica.com, don't hesitate to click on the banners to get your free consultation on how to turn your business vision into reality right now. or send me a request at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. You will be surprised by what's possible, and I promise you'll never regret that call, ever. So see you again next Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern or 12 noon Pacific. And until then, make it an operationally sound and happy week. Goodbye.
Thank you for tuning in to Operationally Speaking. Be sure to join your host, Sergio Semel, for another great program 1 week from today. We're live every Friday at 12 noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Business Channel. In the meantime, you can reach Sergio for additional questions at 1-617-731-3132 or by email at os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Again, that is os@getbusinessmomentum.com. Enjoy your upcoming weekend, and may you and your business make it a smooth and successful week.